Hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's the Daily Daily Caller Podcast for the 23rd day of September 2019. It's a Monday. Damn you, Monday. Although it's better than not having a day. You know, a bad Monday is better than no days at all. I'm Derek Hunter. I'm your host. Thank you for listening, tuning in, telling a friend, spreading the word, rating and reviewing on iTunes, subscribing, grabbing your friends' phones and subscribing them, and all those good things that everybody has been doing to spread the word to make this show grow. It wouldn't happen without you. It really, really wouldn't. Oh, we got a lot of stuff to get to. Tons of things to talk about. The Joe Biden story, the scandal that isn't a scandal, or is it a scandal? It's amazing how the media is very upset at the possibility of finding out information when that bad information is about a Democrat. We also have the cult of climate change. They had their big rally on Friday, and we have some amazingly disturbing audio for you. That there's no other way to put it. It's scary, scary stuff. As always, you can email me, Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com. I welcome your comments, compliments, complaints, recipes, whatever you got. Questions, I don't really answer the emails over the weekend just because I'm busy chasing kids around, and my daughter Bailey got baptized on Sunday, so that's all taken care of. For those of you who, by the way, listen to this before noon on Monday, and if you have Fox Nation, I will be on Fox Nation on Monday at noon to discuss the state of investigative journalism. I'll be on there for half an hour. So if you are a Fox News subscriber, the show is called Deep Dive. It'll be hosted by my buddy Ed Henry, who I've got to get on the show. I've talked to him about coming on the show. Got to get him on the show. For a half an hour. They're training me up to New York, which means I got to get up really, really early to catch the train, which is why I'm recording this a little bit early. All right, before we get to all of that and the news of the day, ladies and gentlemen, let's tell you about Ancient Life Oil. Like, I'm a firm believer that when you're healthy, you're happy, and that's why I use CBD oil from AncientLifeOil.com. I just put a couple of drops under my tongue about 10 minutes ago, as a matter of fact. It's a natural remedy made with nothing but the purest ingredients and blended with coconut and hemp oils. I'm telling you, it's a home run hitter for your health. I was a skeptic, but now I see why it's so popular. It really is a shocking, shocking change. I feel better. I feel great. Ancient Life Oil is non-psychoactive, meaning it provides you with all the benefits without the high. So if you're looking to get high, you got to go someplace else. I encourage you to do your own research. Just check out, search for CBD oil benefits. Just type that in your favorite search engine and see for yourself. Find out why tens of thousands of people have made CBD oil a regular part of a healthy routine. See what they're saying. If you're ready to live your best life, all you got to do is go to AncientLifeOil.com. Now it's the trusted source for high quality, the highest quality CBD oil. That's A-N-C-I-E-N-T, lifeoil.com, AncientLifeOil.com. You use the promo code Derek and you get free shipping. You cannot beat the deal. Check it out, AncientLifeOil.com, promo code Derek. Give it a shot. Look into it. You won't regret it. All right, Joe Biden. You sit here and you think, do I start off with crazy Joe Biden's problems? Do I start off with Democrat hypocrisy? Those two kind of go hand in hand. Or do I talk about the kids who are having their childhood ripped away from them because, well, liberals want, they think they found a way to advance their agenda by scaring the crap out of them and ripping off their childhood? But we'll start with sniffy Uncle Joe. Not a lot of time on this. It is developing and fast developing. But the basic story goes that the Democrats are very, very upset that Donald Trump has asked the, this is part of that so-called whistleblower investigation, which, by the way, we found out from CNN, of all places, that the so-called whistleblower didn't actually hear the conversation between the president of Ukraine and the president of the United States. They got it secondhand. And from that, they were so very disturbed that they decided to file a complaint, or an ethics issue complaint, with the inspector general. Everything, so much of what's going on in journalism these days is like a game of telephone. I swear to God, it really, remember the game of telephone? You get a line of kids together and you all, somebody says something down at the one end of the line of kids, whispers it into the ear. And then you pass it along to the next kid and so on and so forth. And you see by the end, you get to like the 10th kid. And the story has changed dramatically because it's second hand, third hand, fourth hand. That's why journalism used to require first hand information or documentation, proof, you know, or as close to the source as humanly possible. Now, everything is second and third hand information. It's hearsay, it's rumors, it's stuff that if you hung around in bars in Washington, D.C., you could overhear people wildly speculating about. And it would be dismissed as wild speculation and rumor mongering. Now it is treated as if it is videotape and audio tape. They're acting as though it is gospel. That Kavanaugh story that the New York Times ran last week that blew up in their faces was all second-hand, third-hand information. The two so-called reporters hadn't spoken to anybody involved in the story. They spoke to people who heard the story from other people who'd heard the story from people who were allegedly there. Well, you thought that they would have learned their lesson from that and how that blew up and how that book isn't selling, but they didn't learn their lesson. They don't learn lessons. They don't have to learn lessons. They have an agenda. Activists don't learn lessons. Activists learn new tactics. So that's what's going on with this Biden story, the whistleblower heard from a... It sounds... Who was that? It was a god-awful... REO Speedwagon. Heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another. You've been messing around. I don't know what song that is. If I played it long enough in my head, I could figure it out. But essentially, the media has become REO Speedwagon. I'm not even kidding. They're just, oh, somebody told me that I heard something about somebody said something and then that this happened. Ooh, really? Well, then there you go. Let's run with it. They barely even try to reach out to the original sources. So whether or not this whistleblower has a legitimate complaint, in my mind, is irrelevant. What's telling about the media here is how what the president is alleged to have discussed with the president of Ukraine is completely irrelevant to the story. The way that it is described in news reports, as you put news, you should always put news in air quotes, in news reports, is that Donald Trump tried to pressure Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden. What they don't often talk about is why. What would Joe Biden have to do with Ukraine? What would Ukraine possibly come up with? Nobody seems to be asking those questions in journalistic circles. Moreover, they get angry when somebody else brings up the fact that there might, in fact, be something worth investigating there. The story is that Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son, who's had all kinds of problems, he was drummed out of the military for drug use, he's divorced, and then he was like dating, I guess, his brother's widow, and then he dumped her, and a week later was married to some weird chick out of Atlanta, I think. I mean, his personal life is irrelevant here, but it kind of lets you know, and you can look it up. There's a lot more to it. It's very, very weird. It's irrelevant to this story. This guy, Hunter Biden, is not known in Washington or in the United States, really, as this wildly successful businessman, somebody you want to get in business with. He's not known as a particularly stable person. He's a guy with a coke problem who was drummed out of the military for it, who left his wife for his sister-in-law. Is that what it would be? Yeah, his sister-in-law. And then left her for some other lady. Not exactly somebody who's particularly stable. Yet somehow, he got sweetheart deals for industries that he knows nothing about, has no background in, and no experience in whatsoever. Billions of dollars he was managing. Now, it just so happens that his father was Vice President of the United States at the time. And that is a little bit sketchy. That's how Washington kind of works in a lot of cases. Not uniformly. There aren't a ton of people, at least this brazen. There's all kinds of little sweetheart deals where they just want somebody's name on letterhead or whatever. But in general, they hire kids, they hire spouses, they hire siblings to get kind of in. It's a payoff. It's a no-show job or a barely show job, and everybody kind of gets along and nods and pretends that it's completely legitimate. Well, Hunter Biden was swimming in cash. Remember, Joe Biden is not a rich man. Joe Biden is a rich man now. But Joe Biden had never really been a rich man until after he left the White House. Then the 6-7-figure book deals started coming in, the 6-figure speaking deals, and so on and so forth. In the last 2 years, he's made $15 million. But Joe Biden was not really struggling to get by because Joe Biden's kids were making a fortune, particularly Hunter. I don't blame Joe. Everybody wants their kids to do well, but it is a little bit sketchy that you get a contract to manage $1.5 billion of investment in a particular industry when you have no experience whatsoever in that industry, when you're just the son of the vice president, when that is your calling card. That's really your only accomplishment. You were the lucky sperm. Congratulations. Your father ended up being vice president of the United States. Well, the Ukrainian government, in particular a prosecutor in Ukraine, was looking into how this all came to be, and the company that Hunter Biden was working for and making all this money for, there were some issues. It doesn't matter. I mean, you can read about it if you want to really get into the weeds of the alleged corruption. But this prosecutor was looking into it, and that put Joe Biden's kid, Hunter Biden, at risk. So while Joe Biden was vice president, he's over there in Ukraine ready to announce $1 billion in new loan guarantees. We're very generous with our grandchildren's money. It's nice. You know, if you're a government that wants some money, the U.S. will step up and say, yeah, sure. We'll watch while one-fifth of your country is annexed by Russia if you're Barack Obama as president, but we'll co-sign your loans for you. So he's about to announce the $1 billion in loan guarantees, right? And right before they go out there, Joe Biden says, oh, by the way, that prosecutor that we don't like, you need to fire him, or there's no $1 billion in loan guarantees. Now, in the United States, you think $1 billion, we spend $4.5 trillion every year. $1 billion is nothing. It's nothing in the United States to our government. But to most governments around the world, they don't spend like we do. $1 billion is a huge amount of money. It can make or break certain governments, particularly at given times, depending on how their economies are doing. So this put the screws to the government of Ukraine, and they caved almost immediately because it's, we'll ruin your economy or you give us what we want. That, to me, sounds an awful lot like extortion. You know, it just does. The problem was that the prosecutor that Joe Biden wanted fired was investigating his son and his company, right? That's kind of the problem. That's what President Trump was asking the president of Ukraine to look into, whether or not there was some shenanigans on there. Now, apparently, a lot of countries were calling for this prosecutor to be fired, that they had all kinds of problems with him. But it's the appearance of impropriety when it comes to that. Joe Biden shouldn't have been the one to convey that message. Ethically, Joe Biden should have said, I can't be the one to, if that order came from President Obama, Joe Biden should have said, you know what, I shouldn't be making that order. You should send somebody else to do that. The appearance is really awful. It looks like I'm trying to protect my son. If this is in fact a legitimate policy concern of the United States, it looks like I'm trying to protect my son and I shouldn't do it. Now, should Joe Biden have known that this investigation was going on and that his son was involved in this company? Well, on CNN, or no, I guess it's MSNBC. I don't know, whichever one has Michael Smirkanish, because I don't watch either one of them on the weekends. Why would I waste my weekends watching that? But whichever one has Michael Smirkanish had on a reporter from The New Yorker, who's one of the few people in mainstream media outlets that are actually doing some investigation of this story, and Michael Smirkanish asked whether or not Joe Biden should have known at this time that his son was directly involved. He probably should have, and in fact, that is the very answer that the reporter for The New Yorker gives to Michael Smirkanish. It's Adam Entmus. He's a staff writer for The New Yorker. Listen to this bit of audio.
Did Vice President Biden know of his son's role in Burisma when he told Ukraine to fire the prosecutor?
At that point, yes, he would have known because it had been reported in the press and one of his aides had mentioned it to him just to kind of give him a heads up that he might be asked questions.
Now, he's told about it. One of his aides told him about it, saying, hey, you know what? You're probably, this could look a little weird. That's the point at which, if he didn't know before, he should have called up the president and said, hey, you know, Mr. President, do you want me to say this to the president of Ukraine? If, in fact, it came from President Obama, I can't deliver that message. I can't be the one to deliver that message just because it looks bad, the appearance of impropriety. Now, keep in mind, nobody in the media seems to think that this is a bad thing, that there's any appearance of impropriety. These are the very same people who find any foreign diplomat who happens to even have lunch at a Trump hotel somewhere on earth and say, this is a violation of the Emoluments Clause. This is an outrage. It just looks bad. Yes, they got two rooms for 5 days at a Trump hotel. That's a total profit of, what, maybe $5,000 to the Trump family. They're buying the president. You're not going to buy a billionaire for $5,000. In fact, I would say that you wouldn't be buying a billionaire. I don't think you could afford to buy a billionaire. But they insist that the appearance of impropriety is beyond the pale, and that is why Donald Trump must divest himself from all of his businesses. No, no. They have that problem there, but Joe Biden delivering a message to protect his son and using the force of the federal government to do it, that's no big deal. Now let's listen to Joe, knowing full well that Joe Biden knew, was briefed by staff, right there you heard it, that this involved his son and the company his son was working for and raking in all kinds of money. And listen to how Joe Biden tells the story of how he demanded that this prosecutor be fired.
I was, not, but it just happened to be, that was the assignment I got. I got all the good ones. So I got Ukraine. And I remember going over convincing our team, or others to convincing us that we should be providing for loan guarantees. And I went over, right, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to the press conference. Said, "No, I said I'm not going to. We're not going to give you the $1 billion." They said, "You have no authority. You're not the president." The president said, "I said call him." I said, "I'm telling you, you're not getting the $1 billion." I said, "You're not getting the $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here." And I think it was, what, 6 hours? I said, "I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money." Well, son of a bitch. Got fired.
They fired him. I protected my son. We got rid of him, and we loaned him that $1 billion. We gave him that $1 billion loan guarantee, and my boy was protected. Now, this has been a story that has been investigated by, as far as I can tell, three news outlets, sort of. The New York Times did a little bit of investigating. They say that they're still digging down on the case, and The New Yorker has done a little bit of investigation, and I forget which. I actually think NBC News, not MSNBC, but I think NBC News did a story on this as well. But in general, it was a one and done. I think it was Good Morning America, if I remember correctly, or the Today Show. One of the morning shows did a segment on this. But that's it. It was just one and done. There hasn't been a drumbeat on this, whether or not Joe Biden was using his official position as Vice President of the United States to help his kid rake in millions upon millions of dollars. That should be a scandal. because the narrative that the Biden campaign and sadly the media are putting out is it's just Uncle Joe. He's just a hard-working guy, never really made a lot of money. He finally started making some money after he was done being vice president, but that was it. Meanwhile, his kids are raking in the bucks. And do you think maybe they shared a little with Dad? Who knows? You think maybe they bought stuff on behalf of Dad? Who knows? We don't know because nobody's bothering to ask the questions because it's all just been whitewashed. A couple of days of stories, moving on. Well, President Trump said that's kind of BS. That's ridiculous. Let's look into this. And it's kind of funny because normally journalists want as much information as possible. One would think that if there was information out there to gather, it would be their job, since it's in their job descriptions, to try to gather that information. But they are not dispatching journalists to the Ukraine to find out, to get to the bottom of this, to interview witnesses. No, when the president of the United States says to the president of Ukraine that, you know, you should investigate this Joe Biden story to find out if there's any truth there, the media immediately gets bent out of shape. They get angry. The president is using the power of the presidency to try and get a foreign government involved in our election again. Notice they always use the word again, as if the Russia investigation didn't conclude that there was no collusion whatsoever. They're trying to keep that myth alive by proxy through this. They're saying they're trying to do this again, the Trump campaign again. They are the biggest group of frauds ever. Well, over the weekend, Joe Biden was actually asked about this by Steve Doocy's kid. I can't remember his name, but it's Doocy is his last name. And Joe Biden got very, very angry. Joe Biden gets very snippy with Doocy here from Fox News. We have the audio. And notice that Joe Biden starts basically telling journalists how to do their jobs and what questions they should be asking and what is acceptable. Now, when Donald Trump is critical of the press, it is called a great threat to our democracy and the First Amendment. When Joe Biden does it, it is ignored. Listen to this exchange.
Here's what I know. I know Trump deserves to be investigated. He is violating every basic norm of a president. You should be asking him the question, why is he on the phone with a foreign leader, trying to intimidate a foreign leader, if that's what happened. That appears what happened. You should be looking at Trump. Trump's doing this because he knows I'll beat him like a drum. And he's using the abuse of power and every element of the presidency to try to do something to smear me. Everybody looked at this, and everybody's looked at it and said there's nothing there. Ask the right question.
Ask the right questions. You shouldn't be doing this. It should be doing that. Joe Biden is telling the press what to do. Now, many of them will dutifully do it. But why would he be so upset? If he's got nothing to hide, go ahead. Look into it. I did nothing. I did absolutely nothing wrong. I was doing exactly what I was asked to do by the president. That's the job of the vice president. I didn't know, or I didn't care, or it had nothing to do with it. No, he's not answering any questions about that are raised from an ethical standpoint and perhaps, who knows, a more nefarious standpoint. He is out there pressuring, yelling at journalists, ask the right questions, telling them how to do their jobs. If Donald Trump did that, the underpants of every reporter in that scrum would have last night's dinner in it. They would not be able to contain their outrage. Brian Stelter, the human potato, would go on and do a monologue about how this is beyond the pale and an outrage that a president of the United States would do such a thing. Yet, this is who the left is now. And this is Joe Biden, man. He gets to set the terms. He gets to decide what the media should do, or so he thinks. Trump says it's a threat to democracy. Joe Biden says it, and it is portrayed as the president, the former vice president, is standing up today against attacks from Donald Trump. Nowhere in the media do you hear anybody going, well, we need to look into this. We need to find out if there is some there. Because if they dig down that hole and there is no there there, then it makes Donald Trump look pretty bad. If they dig down there and there's no there there, it makes Joe Biden look pretty good. That they are not looking down that hole, that they are not digging and vigorously reporting this and portraying why the president did what he did. They're saying what the president did what he did, but they're not saying why. They're not explaining the story as to why the president of the United States might think there could have been some criminal or unethical activity on behalf of the United States. All the evidence would be in Ukraine. It wouldn't be here. But the journalists have no desire to get to the bottom of it. None whatsoever, because they're in the tank. They're on the team. They're wearing the uniform. Oh, they are the fake news media. And that brings us to our other sponsor here. Look, every day President Trump is facing unprecedented obstruction and harassment from the liberal mob and their fake news allies. Just look at this story. He's been exonerated twice, and they're still calling for impeachment because they know Congress is all they got. It's their last hope to try and damage the president. He needs your support now than ever, and all you got to do, it costs you nothing. Just text the word DAILY to 88022 and receive official Trump alerts directly to your phone. You'll gain exclusive 2020 updates directly from President Trump himself. You'll be the first to know when new Trump merchandise is available so you can annoy your liberal friends. You'll even be able to give your input on key issues to help shape the 2020 campaign. Again, all you have to do is type the word DAILY, D-A-I-L-Y, to 88022. While Democrats and the fake news media have spent the last 2 years focusing on a bogus witch hunts, President Trump has been working around the clock to make America great again. Make sure you're getting the news directly from the source by texting DAILY to 88022. Again, the word DAILY, text that to 88022 today. This is paid for by Trump Make America Great Again Committee, a joint fundraising committee authorized by and composed of Donald J. Trump for President Incorporated and the Republican National Committee that is dedicated to making America great again. That's enough about the Joe Biden story. There will be more revelations about this, but I'll be curious to see if journalists bother to cower, or if anybody will actually continue to ask questions of the former vice president and demand answers. Will panels be convened on CNN or MSNBC about this? Probably not, but there's a possibility. But there is other news that we should get to. I want to talk, there's a little bit more about Joe Biden, but in a different context, a different story. And Cory Booker calling, he says he's got 10 days left in the campaign. If he doesn't get enough donors or donations, he's going to drop out. His Spartacus apparently is not working out. But there was an LGBTQ RVW whatever forum they had Friday afternoon in Iowa. I'm not sure how big of an issue this is for anybody in the world, and I'm not really sure what gay questions are and how they're different from every other question. I'm not, again, the segregation of news is bizarre to me. But Vox has this story about Joe Biden because he called someone sweetheart. He called a moderator, someone named Liz. I assume that's, there's a less generous pronunciation that would get me into trouble and accused of a hate crime. She spells it L-Y-Z, and her last name is Lenz, L-E-N-Z. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's not the name she was born with. But Vox News, of course, the not Fox, V-O-X, a liberal activist site, well-funded liberal activist site. God, it must be nice to function in a world where there are no standards whatsoever and large corporations will just pour hundreds of millions of dollars into you. I think NBC, the company, the parent company of NBC News, poured in like $500 million into Vox News. Co-founded, by the way, by the guy who founded the Daily Kos, Marcos Melitzis. Kind of funny. That guy has gotten filthy rich while calling for the end of capitalism and advocating for socialism for all. He's filthy, stinking rich. And nobody calls him out on it. Everybody just follows him along, goes along with it. Well, the headline on Vox is an exchange at an LGBTQ forum reopens questions about Joe Biden's treatment of women. Now, what did Joe do? Did he walk out there and snap a woman's bra? Did he grab a little boob on the side here? No. Moderator, this is the subheadline. Moderator Liz Lenz says Biden's comments towards her, quote, were a little condescending and said, quote, you shouldn't be calling women sweethearts. Oh my God, the horror. Former Vice President Joe Biden, the leading Democratic presidential contender, defended his record on LGBTQ issues at a forum on Friday, but in doing so, once again raised questions about his comportment towards women and after a misstatement in which he conflated sexual and gender identities about his understanding of issues that affect queer and gender nonconforming voters. Imagine this being your beat as a reporter. I don't know how you just don't find a building and jump off of it. I can't imagine, like, this is what I have to do. My job is to make sure we use proper pronouns and don't offend anybody, especially a member of the professional offended class whose job is to be offended. But somebody wrote that. Somebody decided to put this forum together, and somebody decided that Joe Biden was insensitive to women because he called this woman a sweetheart. Said nice things about her. During a forum, blah, 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 hosted by GLAAD, The Advocate, and Cedar Rapids Gazette, 10 Democrat candidates discussed their record on issues affecting the LGBT community, including the Trump administration's transgender military ban. And that's a very important issue to 7 people on the whole planet Earth. God. During his session, Biden spoke with Liz Lenz, a columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and worked to remind voters, telling them that he believed in LGBT rights from a young age. And he defended his record on same-sex marriage, reminding the room that he publicly supported it before Barack Obama did. That is true. He came out in favor of it. He was the sacrificial lamb that the Obama administration sent out there to say this, because if Obama said it himself and it didn't go over well with Democrats, they couldn't abandon it at that point. Quote, I didn't have to evolve, he said in reference to Obama's famous comments explaining. But Biden, many years in public service, has given him a long voting history, so on and so forth. Then they go on to point out that Joe Biden said, quote, you're a lovely person, and called the woman sweetheart to the moderator, Liz Lenz, L-Y-Z is her name. And that Lenz wrote afterwards on Twitter that Biden called her, quote, a real sweetheart backstage. And she later called these interactions, quote, a little condescending. And she told USA Today that it's 2019. You shouldn't be calling women sweethearts. How about we call you bitch? Can we call you bitch? Is that okay? I mean, look, I call some of my friends bitch. What's up, bitch? So if I call you that, are we good, Liz? Is that where we are as a society? You want to be treated like men or treated? I don't think you'd like that very much. So this is somehow a story that rose to the level to be part of and reported in America's Hotel Doormat, USA Today, which is usually first or second in circulation. It's widely read, horrible, but widely read newspaper. This is a story. He said nice things. They'll cover this. Will they cover the Biden-Ukraine story? Not so much. But they'll cover that he said, oh, you're a real sweetheart. Now, if Joe Biden, you know, came out and chest bumped her off the stage, yeah, that would be bad. But I think Liz would probably prefer that, considering the alternative is being nice to her. And being nice to her is viewed, or she views it, as condescending. This is why you can't get along with left-wing activists. This is the kind of crap that most Americans don't know the Democratic Party has become. It's condescending. Shut up, woman. How about this, Liz? I would put out there that you're only up on stage because you're a woman. Huh? I would put out there that you were maybe only hired because you're a woman. Now, if I say those things, I'm a horrible sexist pig. But if somebody says something nice to you, then they're a horrible sexist pig too? Is there any circumstance under which somebody is not a horrible sexist pig when they interact with you? It doesn't seem like it. That's why I would recommend that if you find somebody who is this rabid and this insane, you probably try to avoid interacting with them at all, ever, under any circumstances. But by the way, at this forum, this is, we'll do Joe Biden talking about prisoners first, and then we'll get to Cory Booker, because they want to decriminalize the wanton, willing spreading of AIDS. Joe Biden was talking about prisoners, prison, and the left is very big on if you build it, he will come. If you declare it, you are. So you could be a man one day and a woman the next day, and then neither the day after that, and then go back again, lather, rinse, repeat. They don't believe that biology, that science, is bound by reality. You can just declare yourself to be something and then be it. It's just like, if you dream it, you can be it. Well, not really, not when it comes to biology. Joe Biden put forth the idea, or came out in favor of the idea, it's not an idea unique to Joe, that prisoners should pretty much be able to determine what they are and be incarcerated based on that. Listen to this.
So many of them. And so, yes, and by the way, in prison, the determination should be that your sexual identity is defined by what you say it is, not what, in fact, the prison says it is. And in that case, you should be entitled also to OGBYN. Anyway, you didn't ask that question, but you're not likely to either, I guess.
Joe Biden believes, look, if I go to prison, I'm going on record now, if I'm ever arrested and sent to prison, I identify as a woman. I want to get that on the record just in case, because that's what Joe Biden is advocating for. Putting anybody, look, if you're a man and you don't want to go into a men's prison, all you have to do in the liberal land is come out and say, I identify as a woman and therefore I should be in a women's prison. And Joe Biden right there is giving carte blanche to every prisoner in the country to turn prisons into co-ed prisons. Although, you know, they all identify as one thing. How freaking crazy are these people? Is this the world that we want for ourselves? Forget it. We're not talking about for our children and our grandchildren. This is the kind of crap that they can do pretty quickly, especially if Democrats get power. They're doing it on state levels that, well, you just pick your prison. Which do you want to go with? Well, I would like to be locked in and be the only person with a penis in a building full of 500 women. You know, and let's face it, there's not a whole lot of beauty queens in there, but some of them are kind of attractive. So why not? I'm going to go into the women's prison and take my chances rather than the prison with the necklace guys in the yard working out constantly. But this is okay. It gets applause from the Democrats. Oh, yeah, that, absolutely. Finally, somebody cares about these people. It's insanity. Less than a decade ago, you would have been laughed off the stage for saying these sorts of things. You would have been institutionalized for saying these things. Now you get a round of applause from progressive Democrats. Oh, he's so progressive out there. It's so wonderful that we're understanding more and more about gender. Now, we understand all there is to know about gender. You got an innie or an outie. That's pretty much it. What you do with it is up to you. How you feel about it is irrelevant. There was a story about the National Health Service in the UK. And in Canada, I'm sorry, it was in Canada. It was the Canada Medicare system, where they were using a picture of a trans woman, meaning a dude, using a picture of a trans woman to raise awareness of cervical cancer. I have the website right here. It's cancer.ca. That's the Canadian website. And the headline on this post is Trans Women and Cervical Cancer. And it says, if you're a trans woman, you may not have given much thought to pap tests and cervical cancer. And if you haven't, that makes a fair amount of sense. After all, in order to get cervical cancer, you need to have a cervix. That is the organ that connects the vagina to the uterus. If you're a trans woman and have not had bottom surgery, and you're at risk, if you're a trans woman and have not had bottom surgery, you aren't at risk for cervical cancer. If, however, you're a trans woman who has had bottom surgery to create a vagina and possibly a cervix, there's a very small risk that you can develop cancer in the tissues of your neovagina or neocervix. You see how insane and how far down this insanity goes? They're raising pap smear awareness for people. They're spending money on this. They're probably training doctors for this on people who have penises. Put this in a time cave. If we could just talk to somebody from, forget 100 years ago, 20 years ago. You don't have to be a time machine where we physically travel. There's just a time phone circuit where we can call them. They would hang up. Everybody who answered the phone would hang up. Nobody would believe that this is where society is heading, that this is happening in the world. Hello, 1999? This is 2019 calling. Did you know that men have to get pap smears? What? Who is this? Who gave you this number? Click, hang up. That's what would happen. That would be the insanity of it. Also, if you called 1999, if you said what Cory Booker and the Democrats are advocating, because at the same, they had 10 candidates at this LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ forum in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. If you told people from 20 years ago, 10 years ago, what Democrats are advocating when it comes to AIDS, nobody would believe you. I remember when I was a kid, AIDS was everywhere. You had to be super duper careful. Nobody knew how AIDS was transmitted. You had to protect, you know, super protected sex, double bag it, look out, laminate yourself, do everything you can. Don't ever expose yourself. Unsafe sex is unsafe. We're all going to die. AIDS could be the next epidemic that wipes us out. Now Democrats are decriminalizing the wanton spreading of AIDS. Not kidding. Listen to Cory Booker asked about. Somehow this has become a priority in the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ community. I don't know how. From, you know, in the 80s when the gay community was killing us. It's killing us. You're not paying enough attention to this. You're not taking this seriously enough to now where it's, I should be able to bang anybody I want and not have to tell them that I have AIDS. I can even lie to them about it. Listen to this question and answer from the LGBTQ forum and Cory Booker.
All right, so one last question before we let you go. In 2014, Iowa was the first state to modernize its law on transmission of communicable diseases, getting rid of an outdated policy that criminalizes non-disclosure of an individual's HIV status. Unfortunately, many states still have these laws on the books, which can lead to the draconian prison sentences for those accused of non-disclosure. These laws have no scientific basis, discourage testing, and disproportionately impact LGBT people of color, a group that you've spoken a lot about today.
I got to stop it right there for a second, just to ask this question. Throw it out there. Maybe you guys can come up with an answer. Not disclosing your HIV status to somebody you're having sex with, unprotected sex with, therefore exposing them to HIV, how does that disproportionately impact people of color? Anybody have any idea? Are gay black men known for refusing to wear condoms or something? Is it more so than other skin tones? I think they just throw this, of course, particularly people of color. I think they're now just throwing that in there as a matter of course, sort of like Tourette's. It just blurts it out. Doesn't matter, whatever the issue is, especially communities of color. I'm having a ham sandwich, and some people don't like ham sandwiches, especially communities of color. I'm thinking about going to see this new movie because it looks pretty good, especially communities of color. Like, they just throw it out there. Has no sense, makes no sense whatsoever. They just throw it down there. And maybe there's some data to back it up, but I think that the issue is, I mean, he's advocating for more people to have unprotected sex and have no consequences from a legal standpoint for willingly spreading AIDS. So it's not like he's warning anything. Somehow it's oppressive to people of color that you can't wantonly spread AIDS, HIV around. When I heard that, I'm just like, what? what the hell is he talking about? I just think they throw it in there. Anyway, back to the rambling question and then Cory Booker's insane answer.
As president, how would you handle this on the national stage through your policies and discussions around HIV and AIDS? And would you be willing to get rid of this idea within long?
Yes, absolutely. And so number one, we have to do things to prevent discrimination.
Yes, absolutely. We need to decriminalize not telling your sexual partner that you have HIV or AIDS. Don't tell anybody. Spread it willy-nilly. Essentially, yeah. AIDS, by the way, I left it on for so long because you heard the crowd applaud. You heard the crowd applaud that. Oh, yeah, thank God. He's so enlightened. He's so progressive. What is he talking about? There is no cure for AIDS. There is no cure for AIDS. It is no longer a guaranteed death sentence like it once was back in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s. Thanks, by the way, to the pharmaceutical companies, which are demonized routinely by these very same people. But it is still a deadly disease. It's just its kill rate has dropped significantly. Yet they're applauding it and they're demanding that they be allowed to spread AIDS or not tell their sexual partner. California was one of the first states to do this. They decriminalized if you are HIV positive and you don't tell somebody you're about to have unprotected sex with and you gave them AIDS, that could have landed you in prison because you will have sentenced somebody essentially to either death or a lifetime of medical bills, knowingly, wantonly, just because you didn't feel like wearing a rubber. Well, they made that legal in California. It's no big deal, no big shake. What's the problem? And now the LGBTQ rights community, whatever the hell that is calling for decriminalizing that across the country. Could you imagine wantonly spreading disease? Not if you had sex with somebody and then you found out that they were HIV positive, wouldn't you be a little bit pissed? Wouldn't you think, why didn't you tell me that? Well, if I'd have told you, you might not have let me have sex with you. Pretty obvious. Don't worry. For medicine you take every day for the rest of your life, your odds are, you know, upwards of 80% that you won't die a horrible death related to, say, AIDS-related pneumonia. So don't worry about it. What's the big deal? We got laid. It sure beats wearing a condom. I didn't feel like wearing a condom, so I thought I would risk your life. And Democrats look at that as being horribly, wildly, incredibly progressive. This is insane. This is incredibly dangerous. This is a 180-degree turn from everything we've been told, by the way, growing up. AIDS is serious. Protected sex is important. Now you see these commercials. And I always see these commercials on TV where I'm on the pill. I'm on the pill. And it's chicks and then it's dudes. Like, I'm on the pill too. Because this pill lowers my chances of getting HIV. And then it's got all kinds of horrible side effects. And all you got to do is not have unprotected sex and not share needles, and you're pretty well safe from getting AIDS. But they're like, no, I'd rather take this pill that might shut down my kidneys, cause my liver to explode, cause my heart to come out through my mouth. But you know what? I don't have to wear a rubber, and I can sleep around, and it's all good. Like, no. People are being lied to. People are being manipulated. And dangerous behavior for political convenience is being normalized and decriminalized. And lives are being put at risk because, as Dave Chappelle puts it, the alphabet people are offended. So now we demand we have AIDS and we want to have unprotected sex. And we don't want to have an awkward conversation with somebody we want to have unprotected sex with. So immunize us from that. It won't help us with our immunity, but it'll help us with our legal immunity. And the Democratic Party has embraced this full throat. You call somebody from 20 years ago and they would think you were insane, because you would be insane. It's the exact opposite of everything people have been saying about HIV and AIDS since it was discovered. But now there's political expedience and convenience to be garnered from that. So away we go. On the topic of hypocrisy, the global warming cult and Greta Thunbergler and her giant climate strike. I believe the climate strike lasts all week. So if you're looking for a day off, there you go. the Democrats are, of course, participating and cheering this. The media is cheering this and lionizing this. I have some unbelievable audio from these people from on Friday that you're not going to want to believe. But I want to take a second to recognize a special award in hypocrisy to our Democratic Party friends. This is how far down the road of hypocrisy they have actually gone. The Washington Free Beacon has the story. And first, let's play this little clip. We'll just pick Mayor Pete, because he's the one who posted a little video of himself on the way. Very excited about this, going to the Iowa State Fair.
All right, we're getting underway in Iowa, meeting with supporters later on. We're going to have the steak fry. I'm really looking forward to the energy that there's going to be there.
He's really looking forward to the energy there's going to be there at this steak fry in Iowa. Remember after the last Democratic debate when Pete was on CNN and talked about this?
If you look at the moments when this country rose to a major challenge, overcoming the Great Depression, winning World War II, going to the moon, it required something out of all of us. And I think we could be standing taller. See, right now we're in a mode where we're, I think we're thinking about it mostly through the perspective of guilt, you know, from using a straw to eating a burger. Am I part of the problem? In a certain way, yes. But the most exciting thing is that we can all be part of the solution. So my
If you're eating a burger and eating a steak, yeah, you're part of the problem. And that's what they are. And I could have chosen any Democrat running for president. They've all, with the exception, I think, of Joe Biden, talked about how eating meat is part of the problem. And we're going to have, we had Andrew Yang the other day talking about we got to get rid of cow farts. And the way we do that is less cows and we make beef more expensive so people eat less of it. And then we can save the planet that way from the scourge of cow farts and belches. Somebody emailed me saying, belches, cow belches. Well, the Washington Free Beacon has this story. Several Democratic presidential candidates will be attending an annual steak fry event despite lecturing Americans about the need to eat less meat because of climate change. The organizers of the Iowa Polk County Democratic Party's annual steak fry will be grilling 10,500 steaks and 1,000 vegan burgers. You can see the nice ratio there. On 10 grills during Saturday's event, this was past Saturday, some of the candidates will grill the steaks themselves. Democratic candidates recently participated in a CNN climate town hall where Kamala Harris called, where multiple candidates discussed the importance of reducing meat intake. Kamala Harris called for the U.S. government to create incentives to eat less meat. Andrew Yang said pretty much the same thing. Cory Booker said that, quote, the planet simply cannot sustain people eating meat. They're cooking 10,000, they cooked 10,500 steaks on Saturday while lecturing everybody that you can't have too many steaks. It's too big. It's too bad for the environment. The ultimate in hypocrisy. Of course, this wasn't really pointed out. It was just B-roll footage of the candidates flipping steaks, pretending like they grill out all the time. I can't imagine very many of them actually even own a grill. But hypocrisy. At a time when there is this climate strike. Oh, and Greta Thunberger is over from Sweden. She's trying to save the planet. This poor girl has been lied to so dramatically and so desperately in her life by adults who are supposed to know better. But now she's leading a movement. Well, now she's the figurehead of a movement. The leaders are actual adults who are manipulating these things behind the scenes. And there were rallies in New York and rallies in Washington, D.C., and then there were some sparsely attended rallies. There was one in Phoenix where nobody showed up. There was one in Moscow where I think five people showed up. But the media dutifully reported that at 150 locations around the country, they're expecting these mass protests. Did you see one? At 150, that's three per state. So the odds are if it existed in your area, you would have heard about it at a minimum. Did you? Probably not, because it's all PR. It's a lie. The New York crowd was decent size, maybe 100,000 people. But New York City had granted permission, in fact, encouraged students, 1.1 million students, to skip school, giving them excused absences to go and attend this thing to try and bolster their numbers. And they barely got 100,000 people, if that. So is this a massive movement or is this a massive push by the media who is pretending that it's a movement. Well, before we get to the more insane things, we have a couple of montages. Let's listen to the Queen herself. She's the saint, Greta Thunbergler. And imagine somebody, if somebody did this to your child, I think you'd beat the crap out of them. If somebody tried to drill this into my kids' heads, I'm pretty sure I would beat the crap out of them. If somebody tried to rob my children of their childhood to use them as a political pawn, I know I would beat the crap out of them. Yet, this, somebody's doing this to Greta Thunberg. Her mother is apparently some left-wing radical actress over there. So that's all you really need to know about this. She goes out there and I have no doubt that she believes this. I don't question her sincerity. I question the sincerity of her parents and the claims that they care about her.
Why should we study for a future that is being taken away from us? That is being stolen for profit. Some people say we should study to become climate scientists or politicians so that we can, in the future, solve the climate crisis. But by then, it will be too late. We need to do this now.
We need to do this. Doesn't she sound like a prisoner forced to read something? Actually, listening to that just now made me think of where or what she actually sounds like.
I have heard the evil stories of the thuggy cult. I thought the stories were told to frighten children. Later, I learnt the thuggy cult was once real and did of unspeakable things. I'm ashamed of what happened here so many years ago, and I assure you, this will never happen again in my kingdom.
I don't know why there's something about Greta Thunbergler's voice that makes me think of the little prince from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. I think it's a dead ringer. Like, if they do a remake, I think Greta Thunbergler has herself a second career, or at least one movie in it, because I'm not sure that kid went back on to have a wildly successful acting career. But that's what I hear. And that's kind of the mentality. I have two montages here. One is from the MSNBC Climate Town Hall that was designed to run PR for this thing. I want you to listen to just snippets from these people. There are many, many college students, meaning adults, here who have bought so far into this thing. They've swallowed the hook, line, the sinker, the pole, the fisherman, the boat, and a good chunk of the water on this thing. And it's impacting their lives. It's also included in this montage is not only how afraid they are, but their majors. What their chosen field of study is. And you can begin to see why there is this mentality and fear of unemployment and inability to find jobs. I'm not sure what some of these majors you could ever find a job doing with these majors. Except the only thing they seem to be designed to do is rack up massive student debt. So you tell kids they got to go to school. And then you encourage them to major in 1940s bisexual polar bear studies. And then they come out and they can't find a job with anything because that's a worthless degree. And they're saddled with this massive debt. And they turn back to the people who said you must go to college. And it's perfectly valid that you major in 1940s bisexual polar bear studies. And then they say, but don't worry. We'll take care of you. We'll forgive your student debt. That's your real problem. Not that you have a worthless degree and have spent 4 years learning something for which there is no practical application, sucker. It's the debt that's the problem. And they just keep getting people to turn and look to government to solve their problems. Look to government to solve their problems. Look to government to solve their problems. Listen to these loony people. If my kids turn out anything like this, we're going to have a serious conversation and perhaps an intervention. They might just be locked in a closet or chained to a radiator or something. And I refuse to let my children turn into people like this.
I'm 19 years old, and like so many people my age, I feel really visceral anxiety about climate change.
I'm a junior in the college here, majoring in justice and peace studies and philosophy.
And minoring in women's and gender studies.
I'm a senior majoring in cinema studies.
I'm studying government theology.
I study empathy as communication.
Wow.
My pronouns are she, her, hers.
Environmental racism is a huge issue in America right now.
Considering the disproportionate impact of climate change on communities of color,
how will you regulate these corporate actions in order to fight environmental, racial, and socioeconomic injustice?
Socially constructed roles often put women at a disadvantage in preparing for climate change.
How would you work with farmers in Iowa and adjacent states with how they will reduce their impact on dead zones in the Gulf of Mexico?
Do you have any plans that center justice for indigenous people as a means of combating climate change?
I am a Native American from the Warm Springs Confederated Tribes. Do you have a plan that serves Native communities?
California has sponsored House Resolution 3668, which will force OSHA to provide health awareness in regards to heat-related illnesses, hydration breaks, and shaded rest areas to workers.
As every 1 degree increase in global temperature leads to a 10% decrease in agricultural production.
We talked a lot about individual responsibility to change behavior like veganism, water waste, and plastic straw bans, all of which initiatives disproportionately affect disabled people and poor people.
In short, most safety protocols are designed without disabled citizens in mind.
You've proposed, and it's on your website, that the U.S. pursue carbon neutrality by 2050. By that point, the temperature for the globe will have risen over 5 degrees Celsius, the ice caps will have melted entirely, and my generation will be left to clean that up.
They are full on board brainwashed, these people. I love their majors. I love their concerns. They are in the tank. This is how you create an army. This is how you create an army of zombies that willing to do anything to stop what you're telling them is going to happen. They believe the world is coming to an end. They believe it is an existential threat to their existence. They're ready to give up on everything. They will not be reasoned with. They cannot be told anything. No truth, no reality, no evidence is going to change these people's minds. And yet here they are. They're on national television. If they were my kids, I would be embarrassed. I'd be ashamed. I would call them up and say, what in the hell am I paying a ton of money for you to go to college to learn this crap for? Get out of there. You're done. Or you're paying for it on your own. This is insane. But that was adults. The children is the real problem. The next day at the climate strike, at a rally in Washington, D.C., on the Capitol Hill steps, had even more disturbing audio. Not even kidding. We have one more montage to get to before you're free to go about your business. But before we do that, another word from our sponsor. We're just over a year from Election Day 2020, the most important election in American history. This election will determine if America continues down the path of greatness or if America will spiral down into a full-blown socialist system at the hands of left-wing radicals. But we can't sit back and wait for 2020. You need to take action now. That's why you should text daily. The word daily. Don't text every day. Just text once, the word daily, to 88022 to receive official Trump alerts directly to your phone. Exclusive access to 2020 updates directly from President Trump himself. You'll know when new merchandise is available, and you'll be able to give your input on key issues to help shape the campaign, help shape their message. That's right. You tell them what you care about, and they're ready to listen. Just text the word daily to 88022. If the Democrats take back the White House, they will destroy the booming economy with strangling regulations. Oh, man, that's one of the best things President Trump has done, is get rid of all those regulations. They will continue to prioritize illegal aliens over the safety of you and your family, and the wall will never get finished. We can't let that happen. We can't let them undo everything that's been done so far. Hard work done so far. Make sure you're getting the news directly from the source by texting daily to 88022. Again, text the word daily to 88022. This was paid for by the Trump Make America Great Again Committee, a joint fundraising committee authorized by and composed of Donald J. Trump for President Incorporated and the Republican National Committee that is dedicated to making America great again. You do that, you text the word daily to 88022. You're helping out this show, too. Appreciate it. Okay, This montage, I had individual clips for most of these people, but I think the montage covers it just as well. You can imagine the rest. You can find them out on social media. These are high school students from across the country. And then there's an 11-year-old thrown in. Her name is Rose Clemens Cove. I'm not sure. I don't think 11 years old is high school. But they just seem to be subjected to child abuse. They are being told that they're not going to grow up, that the world is going to come to an end because of their parents, because of society, because of capitalism. And they're buying it. The other people, I don't want to list off some of the names because some of the names I didn't get. They weren't up on the screen on the C-SPAN feed. But listen to these people. Recognize that none of them are over 18. I think the oldest is one that's 17. And that they have been indoctrinated to this stuff by their schools. And I suspect if it's this far down in them and they're to this point of activism, it has to be coming from their parents as well. But they're spreading it. They are friends with your kids. They go to school with your kids. They hang out with your kids. This is the next generation of leaders. And one day they'll be old enough to be elected to Congress. And God help us all if that's the case. Listen to how scared and brainwashed these kids are.
My name is Rosie Clemens Cove. I'm 11 years old. We are here because our parents trashed the planet, and it's up to our generation to save it.
My future is in jeopardy. All of our futures are in jeopardy.
Baby boomers, all these people call us Generation Z, the last letter of the alphabet, because we are going to be the last generation to survive.
We have only 11 years to rectify decades of damage that we have inflicted on our planet, and only 18 months until some damages are irreversible.
And I am only 16 years old. I am here to speak for the trees.
I'd like to acknowledge my privilege and my background.
I am here for the people who are suffering and dying because of our country's decision.
And we are not here to talk about our sacrifices and our doom and gloom and not existing. We are here to create.
We do not have time to be polite. This is a revolution.
We are creating this movement every day because every day of inaction drives more action from us.
In the 116th Congress, 9,621 pieces of legislation were introduced. Only 203 had the words climate change in them, even though that 70% of adults, 90% of kids, believe that climate change is real and happening.
From Flint, Michigan, to the North Dakota Access Pipeline, to South Bronx, this is environmental racism, and we must acknowledge the issue.
The climate crisis will disproportionately affect the marginalized, the impoverished, and the voiceless.
We refuse to continue with business as usual because we know that is a death sentence.
I want our policymakers to see the faces of the people they are condemning to death. Rebel or die!
We refuse to be the last generation to thrive. We are gonna give it to the generations to come. Oh gosh, I'm done. Yes. Passing it on. Thank you guys. I'm done.
We're all done. Outside of a doomsday cult, outside of a literal doomsday cult, don't you feel bad for these kids that they've been told by trusted adults for political purposes just to manipulate them, to use them as props? They've been marinated in this crap, inundated with this stuff. They believe it. They think that they're not going to see their 18th birthday. It's all going to die. We're all going to be killed. It's horrible. And it's all your fault. It's all this country. I love how the people this country's killing. This country has done more than any other country on the face of the earth. If you buy into this crap, we're the only country who's actually reduced our CO2 output. We've done it through innovation, through capitalism, yet these kids are being told capitalism must be destroyed. We need to be more like Europe. We need to be more like the rest of the world. The rest of the world is still spewing CO2. The rest of the world isn't adopting this crap because it's all designed to damage the United States. That's really what's going on here. And our children are being weaponized against us. Their future is being weaponized against them. What a scary, scary time to be alive for these kids. The people you're supposed to trust are lying to them for political purposes. Where are the parents? Where are social services if the parents are on board with this? Anyway, that was just a small sampling of what's been going on with this climate strike and the lies that are being told. And if you're not paying attention to your kids' education, by the time you figure it out, by the time you recognize what's being done to them, it might be too late. I think it's too late for these kids. Anyway, it's too late for me. We are out of time for today. Thank you for listening. Thanks for sharing, telling a friend. You can email me, Derek@dailycaller.com. Not going to be a book giveaway this week because we didn't have an author on, and I forget which books I have copies of to give away because they're in the office, and I'm in my basement. So next week, it shall return. Don't start entering now. I don't even know who it's going to be. I suppose I could give away signed copies of my book, but nobody wants that. So next week we'll have another drawing, and tomorrow we'll have another program, and I hope to see your ears here then. Otherwise, I'll be on Fox Nation, at noon Eastern on Deep Dive. Otherwise, be back here tomorrow. Have a great Monday.
I'm a junior in the college here, majoring in justice and peace studies and philosophy.
And minoring in women's and gender studies.